It's rare that you have an opportunity to give a presentation that actually answers all of the questions that the previous speaker raised. So we'll see how that actually works out. So again, thank you for coming on this last day of the conference, and I want to thank all of those who have been involved in this research. Unfortunately, we can't name all of the patients who are participating in the research, which they really made it happen for us by being willing to participate in the study. And I'm sorry to say I have no financial relationships to disclose. And you've already seen this information presented by the previous speaker. U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and, of course, American Cancer Society have guidelines. This study was informed by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force guidelines, which you have here. And suffice it to say that almost no one in primary care is doing flexible sigmoidoscopy for colon cancer screening today. It boils down to colonoscopy and stool blood testing. We developed a study that focused on primary care practices, and you'll see this title here, the Randomized Controlled Trial of Strategies to Reach Patients in Primary Care Practices. And one of the things, if you divide the world into different types of navigation, you can do it in a variety of ways, but there are in-office navigation projects in which a physician speaks to a patient and provides a referral and hands the patient off to a navigator. Those studies have very high screening rates as a result of navigation. Then there are studies that are not done in that way. They're done with the patient populations of most primary care practices out there in the real world. And those are the more challenging opportunities to apply navigation. This study is one of those in which it's a randomized trial. We consented, surveyed, and randomized 945 patients from 10 primary care practices in the Christiana Care Health System in Delaware. And we randomized those patients to a control group, standard intervention group, and a tailored navigation intervention group. And I'll tell you a little bit more about what we mean by tailored navigation in a moment. At the end of the day, we did an endpoint survey and chart audit with everyone in order to collect information that allows us to assess outcomes. A little bit more granular here, the control group receives usual care. Normally in primary care practices, colonoscopy kind of wins the day in terms of primary care, and there's encouragement to do colonoscopy screening, and stool blood testing comes a distant second in terms of primary care physician encouragement of screening, but that's usual care. In this group. The SI group, standard intervention group, we mailed them an informational booklet, and we mailed them a screening kit, which included a stool blood test, an immunochemical stool blood test, and instructions for colonoscopy. It's important to note that patients are given instructions, and then it's up to them to act on those instructions in order to arrange their colonoscopy, and that's consistent with this approach. And we did a mailed reminder to those folks as well. The TNI group, the Tailored Navigation Intervention group, we did the same thing. We mailed a booklet and we mailed a kit, but the kit was based on test preference that we assessed at the baseline survey. And I'll show you a few details as to how we actually did that. But patients who preferred stool blood testing, SBT, we mailed them stool blood tests. We wanted to try to be really efficient here and not waste contacts and waste resources. So if patients at the baseline survey said they preferred stool blood testing, we mailed them that test. Made a lot of sense at that time. A story to be told a little later in the talk. Those who had an equal preference for stool blood testing and colonoscopy, we mailed them stool blood tests, and we provided mailed colonoscopy instructions. Third group preferred colonoscopy, we mailed them the colonoscopy instructions, and that was followed up by a navigator telephone call to them. Then mailed reminder. So that was the design of the study, and I mentioned the 10 primary care practices. This is really important to work together with the practices that in which you want to develop and implement a program, and these were outstanding primary care practitioners. Lead physicians agreed to participate in the study and give us access to these patients through whom they were all connected by an electronic medical record, by the way, and we were able to determine these characteristics through that EMR. Here's a quick look at the characteristics of that population, their background characteristics. I won't dwell on that. Suffice it to say that it was a little unusual in our experience to have a large proportion of the patients who are 50 to 59 years of age. In our previous studies, we've tended to get somewhat older patients. This is a younger patient population, they tend to be more, a little bit more challenging, more difficult to encourage to screen if you look in the literature. Now, how did we determine preference for the tests? On the baseline survey, we described the two tests over the telephone. This is a telephone survey. We elicited decision stage from the precaution adoption process model. We modified the decision staging algorithm in that model. And we asked them their decision stage, decided against, never heard of, not considering, or undecided to do for each test. And in this case, this patient said, well, I've decided against colonoscopy. That's not for me. But I've thought about, but I haven't really decided about doing stool blood testing. So that we believe at that patient is closer to doing stool blood testing than colonoscopy. So we think that's the preferred test. So we're not just saying, hey, what test do you prefer? We're actually deriving the preferred test through this algorithm. And then we can actually also look at that and say, overall, what's the overall screening decision stage for colon cancer? So it makes sense? That's a kind of simple-minded approach, but nobody else is doing it yet. So, and then if you look at the distribution of screening decision stage in the population, surprisingly, 75% said, hey, I think I've decided to do screening. Very few people, and this is consistent with studies that we've done and others have reported, if you ask them, very few people will say, I've decided against screening. So, we wanted to focus our attention on a couple of outcomes. One is screening adherence, which we measured by asking people at 6 months on a survey, had they screened or not, and if they said yes, we actually ascertained a date, that is a month and year for when they screened, rather than just accept, yes, I screened. And then we also looked at charts. So we did that 6 months after randomization. And we also looked at an outcome of change, positive change in overall screening decision stage. Remember that from the earlier diagram? So we looked at baseline screening decision stage, which I showed you before. And here, this patient was in this not considering undecided box at baseline. And when we contacted the patient at 6 months, we found that that patient had moved and actually had screened. So we consider that positive change in screening decision stage, overall screening decision stage. Any question about that? Okay, and our hypotheses were screening adherence would be greater in the SI group than the control group, greater in the TNI group than the control group, and we thought that the navigation arm would have higher screening adherence than the SI arm of the study. Similar hypotheses relative to change in terms of screening decision stage, that is overall screening decision stage. Here are the results. We found, indeed, when you look, this is the intervention groups versus the control group. When you look at that, we had only 12% screening in the control group, 33% in the SI group. We had a little bit higher screening rate in the TNI group. But these two interventions way outperformed usual care. So do these interventions work? Darn right, they work. When we compared TNI to SI, that is this navigation arm, this is the 33, we didn't see a statistically significant difference. Now, there's a mystery here, and we've got the end of the talk. We'll ask your help in kind of unraveling this mystery, but let's hold this thought for the moment. I will say at this point, though, that in the practices, screening was about 60% baseline in the screening of in the practices. So we're dealing with that 40% who hadn't screened. So if we can get 38% of those who hadn't screened, add to the 60% who had screened in the practices, we're up to what? 75% screening rate. So we have a nice opportunity here. Okay, if we look at change in overall screening decision stage, we see that this is broken down by any forward change, which we think is positive change, of course, no change, any backward change. We see that 22% of folks in the control group, when we contacted them, actually had moved forward in their screening decision stage, 36 in SI and 45 in the TNI group. And when you look at this in multivariable logistic regression analyses, you see that this difference Overall, when you compare the intervention arms to the control group, it's highly significant. Actually, when you control the TNI group to the SI group, we're right on the cusp of a significant effect. So what have we learned? The TNI, preferred-based mail and navigation intervention versus the SI, has significantly increased adherence and produced positive change in overall screening decision stage. Both of them worked. TNI did not significantly increase adherence versus the SI intervention, but it did produce positive change in screening decision stage. So we're left with some questions. And I titled this slide, Preference, Access, and Navigation, because it includes or refers to all of these elements. Why did a standard mailed screening kit and a preference-based navigation? Five. Okay, thanks. Why did the standard mail and the preference, why did they both boost adherence versus usual care? Well, we were providing them ready access to the screening tests. Usual care, if in usual care, you only have really access to one, colonoscopy, and if that's not your cup of tea, forget it. Why did a preference-based mail kit with navigation support produce more change in screening decision stage than a standard kit? Well, we saw, not presenting those data, but we saw actual movement towards screening. So they may have come from decided against to being undecided or up to decided to do. And we actually moved people towards and to adherence. The biggest effect was by moving people to screen. Here's the big question, why didn't a preference-based mail kit with navigation support significantly boost adherence versus standard mail kit? Well, we thought we were being very efficient by only providing people who preferred stool blood testing a stool blood test. Well, those people, we didn't provide them access to colonoscopy. Access to colonoscopy only, but we didn't provide them stool blood testing, right? But in this group that we provided access to both tests, irrespective of their preference, and we provided support, it increased both types of tests. And here's a graph that kind of tries to capture this. This is our control group. This is our standard intervention group. And this is our TNI group. And these boxes are my nifty idea of trying to kind of focus attention. And if what do you see? This is the audience participation part. What do you see here? The green bar is no testing. The red bars are colonoscopy. The blue bars are stool blood testing. So what do you see in the control group? What kinds of tests are they doing? Colonoscopy. And at a relatively low level, right? Screening, overall screening at a relatively low level. Now you see a boost in screening in this box, but what are they doing? They're doing stool blood testing. And interestingly, those who prefer colonoscopy, half of them are doing stool blood testing. Wow! I mean, surprise, surprise. Then you get to this group where you actually see higher screening rates than either of the previous two groups. I'm not talking about statistical significance here. I'm just looking at the kind of bigger picture. And what do you see? What do you see here? What are they doing? They're kind of doing both tests overall, but you have this group who preferred stool blood testing. Remember, we didn't provide them colonoscopy access. What are they doing? Stool blood testing. If we had provided them both opportunities, we might actually see some colonoscopies being done there. But we, in our infinite wisdom at the beginning of the study, decided not to do that. Well, boom, shoot me. So in this group, we provide equal preference. We provided access to both tests, and wow, we have substantial increase in screening. And this difference, if you compare this bar to that bar, that's a statistically significant difference. And what do you see in the last group who preferred stool blood testing? Well, hey, some of them did. They found a way to get stool blood tests and get them done. So we think that there's a lot to learn. I think we've learned a lot. I think there's a lot to learn about how we actually do navigation. And I'd be more than happy to provide CDC with more information about what we've done, what we've learned, and see how we might be able to work together. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd now like to introduce Dr. Alan Holden, Dr. Holden is an assistant professor at the Institute for Health Promotion Research in San Antonio, Texas. He has worked extensively in the area of cancer research, particularly breast and liver cancer, as well as cancer survivorship. Dr. Holden is trained in medical anthropology, statistics, and community health sciences.